wonderful playing of Lord's Prayer. Thank you. But our hearts are prepared to come to the Word this morning as we continue our journey through this book of Revelation. Now today, coming to chapter 8. And we'll be reading the entire chapter together. Let's hear the Word of the Lord, what He has to say to us this morning. We've been gone through this series, Revelation, Glory Revealed. As God reveals more of His glory to us and His plan through His Word today. When He opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it to earth, and there came peals of thunder and rumblings and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets began to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it hurled down upon the earth. A third of the earth was burned up, a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned to blood, a third of the creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky, and a third of the rivers and the streams. The name of the star is Wormwood, and a third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. And a third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the trumpet blast about to be sounded by the other three angels." Here is a reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you for your word to us. And Lord, as we come into this book once again, as you have been revealing to us at this point your plan for the future, we thank you that you are in control, that you are sovereign, that you are on the throne, and you are guiding all of history. We thank you, Lord, that you are bringing things to a point where someday you will return again. Someday you will make things right. Someday everything will be put the way you had intended at the very beginning of time. Until that time, Lord, you call us to faithfulness. Until that time, you call us to serve you every day. Until that time, Lord, we thank you that we can walk with you and we have the promise of your presence sustaining us. So through your word this morning, once again, encourage our heart. Teach and instruct us and open our eyes and ears that we may hear from you today as you reveal more of yourself through this wonderful book to our lives today. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. This week I sensed the power of prayer and all of your prayers with us. And I can indeed say, and I'm sure many of you can say, that prayer indeed changes things. Prayer changes things around us, but also prayer changes us. Prayer changes us at times and changes our spirit and our attitude in conformance with His will. And sometimes whenever our heart and our mind is not in the right way it needs to be, through prayer we are changed and brought into alignment with God's purpose, God's will. There is great power in prayer, and as the scripture says in James, the prayer of a righteous man or woman, a righteous person of God, is powerful and effective. As we continue our journey through Revelation and we come to chapter 8, we again become to now the seventh seal being opened as we pick up the action again. Last week we had seen that there was a pause in the action whenever between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, there was a pause in the action so God could seal 144,000 Jewish missionaries that we saw. That he sealed 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. That he sent out, and he's going to send out someday in the tribulation time with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ the Messiah. And that through these Jewish evangelists during the time of the tribulation period, we saw that many came to believe and will come to believe in Christ. But now we return back, and just to put this in order for you again, we had seen the rapture of the church take place in chapter 4. And then we're in the seven parts of the first part of the tribulation years now, the 7 years of tribulation that is being described for us from chapters 4 all the way to chapter 18 of this book. We're in the part right now where the seven seals are being opened. Remember, we talked about that seven seals being God's plan for initiating the events to Jesus' return, that each one of those seals being broken by Christ, initiating another part of that plan, putting in action Jesus' return. And today we come to the seventh seal, which is going to be open for us, all these events taking place in that 7 years of tribulation yet to occur after the church is raptured into heaven. And just putting this in perspective so you can see where we are. As we return to the action today, Jesus the Lamb opens and breaks the seventh seal. And we're going to see that contained in this seventh seal that he opens are going to be seven trumpets of judgment. And in the seventh trumpet will be contained seven bowls or vows of judgment. And each one of these will continue to get more intense as the tribulation period continues to unfold in those years yet to come, when God unleashes his judgment on the earth in preparation for the return of his Son. So just a little bit about that. But seventh seal we're going to see today, the seven being the number of perfection, but the seventh seal reveals to us the power of prayer. And as the seventh seal is open, something special happens. And as we seek to apply this to our life today, even though we're talking about future events, we can still apply Revelation to our life because God has a lot to say to us how it relates to us even now. And prayer, and the power of prayer is what we want to focus on this morning. And prayer has the power, as we're going to see, as the seventh seal is open, to do a couple things for us. And first, prayer has the power to move heaven. That when we pray, things happen. And as I said, prayer changes things. Your prayers, my prayers, ascended up to the Father, as we lift them up from our heart, has the power to move heaven and cause heaven to respond. Notice what it says here. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Now, I could get myself in trouble by saying something here. I heard a preacher say, and this isn't me, I'm quoting another preacher I heard, so don't get mad at me. But I've heard a preacher say that this shows Jack Rice that there's no women in heaven because there was silence in heaven for a half an hour. But that's not me. I didn't say it. But that's not what this means. There was silence in heaven for a half an hour when the seventh seal was opened. What is that teaching us about prayer having the power to move heaven? It means that when we pray, God stops to listen. When the seventh seal is open, which has the containing of the seven trumpets, but in it is the prayers of God's people ascending up, as we'll see, before the throne. We're going to see that mentioned here. But God stops all the action to listen to the prayers of his saints. You think how wonderful that is, and how busy, and all the people of the world, And all that God has is sitting on the throne and being sovereign. And all that he's rolling over. But yet he takes the time to stop and to listen to every one of our prayers personally lifted up to him. Isn't that awesome? That there was silence in heaven for a half an hour, meaning God stopped his activity to listen to the prayers of his people. That's an encouragement to us. That's the kind of God we have. That's how personally he cares for you. That's how important your prayer requests and your burdens are to him. That's how seriously he takes them, that he stops to listen to you. And every prayer that's uttered. That's just mind-boggling to me. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 34. 34 Psalm. And keep your finger back in Revelation. But in Psalm 34, verse 6, David calling out in a heart of before God. And David wrote this when he was going through a painful experience in his life. He was being chased down by King Saul. King Saul was trying to kill him. And because he was jealous of the fact that David had been chosen by God to be the next king. And he was living in enemy territory at this point in the territory of the Philistines. His life was in danger. And he had pretended at this point to be insane so that they would drive him out and his life would be spared. It was a hard time for him. But God delivered him and spared him. And he wrote this. Verse 6, he said, "This poor man called, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." And go down to verse 15. And verse 15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous." And what's it say? "His ears are attentive to their cry." That God's ears are attentive to your cry and to mine. That when we pray, prayer has the power to move heaven because God stops to listen to you and to listen to me. That is an awesome thought. It's the greatness of the God we have. There was silence in heaven for half an hour as God stopped what he was doing because the saints, as we'll see, were praying here and they were lifting their prayers up before the Lord, and the Father stopped to listen to their request. So prayer is the power to move heaven because God stops to listen. But second, God's heart is touched. That when you and I pray and lift our hearts up, our prayers up to the Lord, it touches the heart of God and it pleases him. Verses 3 and 4 says that another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers. Here you see it, the prayers of the saints. And on the golden altar before the throne, and the smoke of the incense together with the prayers of the saints went up before God from the angel's hand. It's picture here is what he's saying, that the saints were lifting up their prayers and God received those prayers as a sweet incense or fragrance to him, an aroma, a smell that pleased him. And he was pleased and honored by the prayers that went up before his throne from his people as they cried out to him, as they shared their burdens. And we see that, putting this in context, in the midst of the tribulation time, what were these saints praying for? They were praying for God's kingdom to come. They were praying for relief from the tribulation time they were going through. Many of them were facing martyrdom, and they were praying for justice. But yet, their prayers touch the heart of God. And your prayers, lifted up in faith before the Lord, touch his heart. They please him. And that's a favor. It brings him favor and blessing in your life. What a privilege it is that we have as believers, that we can come before God and are welcomed by him. That he not only hears and stops to listen, but he is touched by your grief. He shares in your sorrow. He is touched by your burdens. and he cares deeply. And that's why the scripture says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. It's the kind of God we've got. It's the power of prayer. He is pleased. He is honored. Revelation 5, turn back to Revelation 5, verse 9. And we see again this picture of the prayers going up before the Father. Actually, verse 8. That it says that they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Talking about the elders. And we had seen that the elders was a representation of all the believers of the church down through time. And all of God's people redeemed. And lifting up their prayers before the throne of God again. And so God is touched with your prayers that you lift up to him. He cares. He stops to listen. But prayer also has the power to move heaven because God will respond. Then when you lift up your prayers before the Lord in faith, believing, trusting in his will and his good purpose, he will respond in his time and in his way. Notice what it says here in his response. What happened? Verse 5. Then the saints were praying. The prayers of the saints went up before the Lord as a pleasing aroma in incense. But verse 5 says, then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire, and what did he do? It says he hurled it down to the earth. And with that came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. What is this telling us? What's the picture? What's the Lord trying to convey here? What's he revealing to us? What he's revealing to us was that in response to the prayers of God's people, he took action. Because what were the saints praying for? We see it if we would go back again to the chapter a little bit before this. They were crying out, how long will it be before you redeem us? When they were being martyred for their faith, when that seventh seal was being opened up in chapter 6, they cried out and said, how long will it be, Father, until you redeem? That's in chapter 6, verse 10. And they said, how long until you do something? How long until you take action, until you judge those who are sinning? And in response to their prayers, the angel took the censer and threw it down to the earth. And when they said, how long? God's answer is now. Now is the time. You can be assured when you bring your prayers before the Lord in his will, trusting in his will and timing, that he will respond. It may not be as quick as we like. For these saints that were crying out to the Lord in chapter 6, they were told, you need to wait a little bit longer. Now's not the time. When we get to chapter 8, we see God's going to take action in response to their prayers. Now is the time. But sometimes when we pray, we say, Lord, wish you would do it now. But he says, in my timing, I will. I know what's best. I know what's good. And he will respond. And he wants us to bring whatever it is that we're concerned about to him and trust that he'll answer. Even something as simple as, when you lose your car keys. And you know, sometimes we lose our car keys, and that's happened to me, or your wallet, and you wonder where it is, and that's happened to me. I've tore the house up frantically looking for my car keys one time, and I couldn't find it. And I prayed and said, Lord, help me. And what? In my pants, yeah. My pants autumn. And it said, help me to find them. I can't know where. I don't know where I put them. I can't remember. And prayed and asked God to help me. And he directs and helped me find them. It seems like a silly thing, but yet God cares. And he responds for even something as simple as that. So trust him and know that your prayers move his heart. He will respond in his goodwill and his time and his way. Acts chapter 4, verse 31 tells us that after the church prayed, and they prayed fervently, in this case what they were praying for was Peter and John had been arrested and put in prison. And they prayed fervently that they would be let go. And it says that after they prayed, the place where they was meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and God's presence was upon them, and they spoke the word of God boldly and courageously, and Peter and John were released from prison, and God heard and responded and answered their prayer. And he will in all of our prayers, in his will, in his way, in his time. So the power of prayer is that prayer has the power to move heaven, for God will stop and listen. He is touched by you, and he will respond to our need. In Exodus chapter 3, we have where Moses was called by God to return back to Egypt. And God had revealed himself to Moses through a burning bush, as you know the story. And as he began to question and talk with the Lord, and God called him for that particular mission of sending him back to Egypt. As you know, Moses didn't want to go. Came up with a lot of excuses as to why he was the wrong person. And why he couldn't do what God called him to do. But before God called Moses, as he was giving him his mission, he said to him, I have heard the cries of my people in bondage. And they were in captivity and slavery for 400 years. And for 400 years, they lifted out their prayers and their cries to God. And they were probably beginning to think God didn't care anymore. God was distant. God was out there. He didn't care about them and their bondage, they thought. And for 400 years, they lifted their prayers up to God. But God said to Moses, I have heard the cries of my people in bondage, and I am sending you. God heard, and he responded. And it's the same in our lives too. So be encouraged, friends, as you lift up your prayers to God, as you share your burden with him. He stops, he listens to you, and he will respond to your need. Prayer has the power to move heaven, but second, prayer has the power to affect earth. Because not only does it move God's heart, prayer changes things. And prayer changes things and has the power to affect life on earth as well. And that life on earth means people that we know and love. People that you and I are burdened for, family members that don't know Jesus. People that are sick or have needs or financial needs or concerns. Prayer has the power to affect life on earth and affect their lives as God hears and responds to those prayers and meets those needs in his way that is best. We see that displayed to us in the remainder of this chapter, verses 6 through 13, in the response to the prayers of God's people, moving his heart. The angel throws the censer to earth, saying, God is taking action. God is going to respond. And with that, seven angels had seven trumpets and began to sound and proclaim these trumpets. With the proclamation of trumpets, trumpets were used in the Bible as a type of music, but they were also used as a warning to summon people together. They were also used to announce special events or coming judgment. They were used to make special announcements. They were used to give commands for war. So trumpet blasts and sounds were very significant in Scripture. As we've seen, the trumpet will sound at the rapture when we're caught up to Christ. The trumpet will sound announcing that event. So very significant, these trumpet blasts, announcing that God is responding, that he is taking action in response to the prayers of his saints. And prayer is the power to affect earth because it can bring about his will. And that's what is going to happen with these trumpet blasts. As the angels begin to sound these trumpets, God's will is now going to begin to be unfolded. As we get closer to the time when Jesus is going to return, when he's going to come and set and make things right and set up his kingdom and reign and David's throne. In response to the prayers of God's people and what he taught us to pray, and Kim just reminded us of in the Lord's Prayer, and that one of the petitions that Jesus taught us to pray was that thy kingdom come. And he taught us that we're to pray that, meaning, Lord, hasten your kingdom, and may your kingdom come, and your rule and your reign come into other people's lives. May others that we know that don't know Jesus come to be a part of your kingdom too. And that's his will. because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. We know that it's his will that his will be done on earth as it is always done in heaven. That someday everything be made right and we all be restored to him again. And that Satan and evil is done away with. And that we live in a perfect relationship with him. So it brings about his will through the proclamation of the trumpets and their sounding. We're told that when the first angel, verse 7, sounded its trumpet, there came hail and fire mixed with blood. And it burned up a third of the vegetation and all the green grass. And a third of the vegetation was destroyed by the fire and turned to blood. And it affected the vegetation on land, which meant the ability to grow food was affected. Notice how these judgments come in succession and how God is going to bring this about that affects all life on earth for a purpose, as we'll see. When the second angel sounded its trumpet in verse 8, that brought pollution and destruction to the salt water supply and the seawater, affecting sea and animals that lived in the sea, marine life. That a third of all the animals in the sea died. A third of the sea turned to blood. Have you heard that before, where God turned water to blood? Does that sound familiar? You'll notice that in these plagues and these judgments that come, God's not doing anything new. He's using the same plagues that he had done on Egypt. And there's going to be a purpose. I'm going to point that out why later. But it's the same plagues that he used on Egypt, he's going to use on the world again. Because Jesus is the same. The Lord's the same. He's consistent. So turning the water to blood, a third of the seawater, cutting off the seafood supply. And then the third angel sounded its trumpet in verse 10. And a great star like a torch fell from the sky into the fresh water supply, the rivers and the streams, poisoning them. A star called wormwood. That name wormwood means bitter. And God is going to poison the fresh water supply. It's a reversal of what he did in the Old Testament with Marah. When Israel was going through the wilderness and there was a well called Marah, bitterness, and they tried to drink it and they began to die, and God made that bitter water fresh. In the time of the tribulation, he's going to make the fresh water bitter or poisonous, that those who drink it will die. And a third of the people, cutting off here, making the water unfit to drink and to support marine life. And when you think that a third or three-fourths of our earth is water, think of the effect that's going to be. But what is God doing? Here he's taking the land able to produce crops that's being destroyed. He's taking the fresh water supply and the salt water supply and the life in it and making that unfit for drinking and sustaining life. And then the fourth angel sounds its trumpet in verse 12. And a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the stars, and a third of the moon, and came darkness. Do you remember the ninth plague of Egypt? The ninth plague of Egypt was darkness. And Egypt was plunged into darkness for 3 days. And the fourth angel brings a third of that, affecting the ability with darkness to grow food, because of the plants needing photosynthesis and light. And so in these first four plagues, the entire food and water supply, as well as the drinking water, is affected and destroyed. And that's what God's doing here and will do in the day of tribulation comes. You say, why? Well, it's because he's setting in motion the plan to bring about his son. And this judgment on earth and on sin must take place. That his will be done, because it brings about his will. And when you and I pray, know that his will, he will respond in accordance to it. It also has the power to affect earth because it can demonstrate his grace. And this is the good side of this. Because as you look down through those verses, where it talks about the angels sounding their trumpet in verse 7, 8, 10, and 12, as it affected the sea and salt water supply and land on earth and the vegetation and the sun and moon and stars, what fraction is used all the time? 1/3. What is that telling us? That even in the days of judgment, even in the days of tribulation, God still is going to show grace. That even in the midst of judgment, God brings grace to all those who are willing to come to him. That the cross is a beautiful picture of that. That on the cross we have God's judgment being poured out on sin. That he took all of our sin upon himself. That God the Father had to turn his face away. And Jesus became sin for us and he paid the price. And the wrath of God was satisfied. But at the same time, we see the love and mercy of God extended, don't we? That all who will can come to him because he died for all of us. Even in the times of tribulation, even in the times of God's judgment, there is grace extended, and that God is limiting his judgment at this point. It's not complete. It's not full. There's still a limit, only a third. It's not affecting all life, but only a third of it, showing that God is gracious. And what this means is it applies to our life, yours and mine today, is that our prayers leads to a demonstration of his grace. That when you're praying for someone who needs Jesus, pray that God will show his grace to them. That someone who's lost in your family or someone, that God would pour out his grace upon people in need. That God would show his grace to those and call them to himself. God is gracious, long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. And aren't you thankful that even in his justice he shows grace? That he limits that even now. And someday in the tribulation time, as horrible as it will be, there's still that opportunity of grace being extended. It also affects life on earth because it can lead to repentance. Then God limiting his judgment here to a third of the sea, a third of the water supply, a third of the sun, moon, and stars, limiting it to a third, showing that there's still an opportunity for people to repent. That people would come to him. And this chapter ends by the angel, by an eagle flying out over the earth and saying, woe, woe, woe to all the inhabitants of the earth because a trumpet blast about to be sounded. Saying there's terrible times yet to come. As bad as it is, things are going to get worse. And so they're calling out and saying, woe, now's your chance. Now's the chance to repent. Now's the chance, a day of grace. For those of us living on this side of the rapture, this is our time of grace for people to come to Jesus, for people that we need to pray for, and that pray that God will extend to them. But even in his justice and his judgment, it's hoping that people will come to him in repentance. So I challenge you, put down on your paper, on your sermon note paper, the names of people that are outside of God's grace that you know, within your family and friends that need Jesus, and pray that God will draw them to repentance, that his spirit will be at work within their heart to draw them to himself. Prayer also leads us to repentance in our own life whenever his spirit convicts us, and his spirit working within our heart, showing that we need to repent of our sin that we've committed. Because even as believers in Christ, we all can fall into sin. And we need to repent of that as well. And our prayers of repentance are lifted up before the Father. And he hears and honors those. And prayer affects life on earth because it can manifest his glory. In verses 6 through 13 again, as these trumpets are sounded, unleashing the future judgment on earth during the great tribulation time. That is yet to occur. Through these judgments and these plagues that God is going to do in those 7 years, it reveals and manifests his glory, and that's the purpose in it. Because by repeating the Egyptian plagues, the plagues that have happened in Egypt, The Lord is trying to make it clear and wants to make it clear that he is God alone. And he is making his glory known. Whenever God unleashed those plagues on Egypt, they were for the purpose to show the Pharaoh of Egypt at that time that he alone was God. Because the Egyptians had worshipped many different gods and idols. And every one of those plagues was a judgment against those other gods or rival gods. To show that the Lord alone, Yahweh, is God. And the Lord, by taking away the water supply, by taking away the food supply, and by taking all that away, is showing that there is no other one we can turn to except him. There was nobody else that can provide for us except God alone. It shows that the material world and all that we may trust in or all that people rely on is going to be destroyed and burn up and cannot supply and cannot sustain us. That the material world cannot and will not sustain. Nothing of this earth will last. Only Jesus can supply our need. Only Jesus can sustain us. And only he can save us. And that's how he demonstrates his glory and will through that time of future judgment. In response to the prayers of his people. So there's great power in prayer. God hears, he cares, and he responds. So bring your burdens to him. Cast all your sorrows and cares upon him, as it says in James, pray for one another, because the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Your prayers and mine had the power to move heaven as God stops to listen, as he is pleased and honored and touched by your request, and he responds in his will. And has the power to affect earth, life on earth, as he responds to that, hoping to bring people to repentance and trust in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you care about us deeply. That your heart is touched by our prayers and you want us to pray. We thank you that you've given us all personal access to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. That you stop and you listen in the midst of all that you are doing to our prayers, the prayers of your people who call on you. And you hear them. And our prayers, you don't turn away, but your ears are attentive to our cries to you. And you stop what you're doing to pay attention to us, to listen to our request, our praises, our prayers, our petitions. And that touches your heart so much that it moves you to respond in accordance with your good purpose and will. So thank you, Lord, for that power that our prayers ascend to you as an aroma, a fragrance, an incense that is pleasing to you and honoring to you. And that our prayers have the power as well to affect life on earth. As brothers and sisters in Christ, as we lift up our prayers to you, praying, Lord, for family members who are lost, praying for others, Lord, in need, praying for others who are hurting or need redemption, that our prayers have the power to affect their lives as you hear and respond in accordance with your will, leading people to repentance, demonstrating your glory, that there is no other one we can trust in but you. You are the only one who can supply. You are the only one who can sustain us. As you reveal yourself and your glory to others as a result of our prayers. Lord, Paul taught us to devote ourselves to prayer, praying that doors would be open for the advancement of the gospel, that others would come to know you. And so, Lord, even this moment, we lift up to you together the names of those that we know that need you so desperately. The names of those, Lord, who are hurting and need your touch today, knowing that you will respond in your good time and will. So we trust you. We rely on you and we look to you in faith, thanking you for the promise that the prayers of a righteous man and woman are powerful and effective because they touch your heart and are and heard and answered by you. So thank you for the power of prayer and what this has taught us and revealed to us about you today through your word. Through Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen.